welcome to Empowering Homeschool Conversations. We're so glad that you are here with us today. My name is Peggy Ployer, and I am the host of this weekly broadcast put on by SPED Homeschool, as well as its founder and CEO. We at SPED Homeschool empower families to home educate children with learning challenges, and I encourage you to check out our website at spedhomeschool.com to learn more about the resources and support that we offer families. Some of the best resources, I always say this, are the partners that we have on our website. And I am privileged again this week to have one of our partners on as a guest. And so welcome, Dr. Carol Brown. Thanks for joining us from Equipping Minds.
Thank you, Peggy. It is a joy to be back. I think I got to be on maybe in the first.
I think the first year that we were on, and wow, we're celebrating. I think we're at 4.5 years now with this show. So yes, it was a while ago.
It was, and I just, you know, rejoice with everything that SPED has been able to do to equip and come alongside parents, and applaud you for. Really how God is using you.
Thank you. Yes, it has definitely been a God thing, because in my own mind, I would have said, this is not possible and this is not me. but yes, and it's such a joy to encourage so many families and to empower them to do the resources that I only had dreamed that I would have had when I was homeschooling my kids. So I'm excited to have you on. This month, we focus on a different topic every month, and we're talking about IEP goals. You'll see this as a general theme in our blogs, as well as our broadcast this month. The blogs are focusing more on the in and out paperwork side of the IEPs, where the broadcasts are focusing more on, okay, I have specific goals for my kids. How do we get there? And so Carol's going to share some amazing things with you guys. And also, Carol, you've given us some resources that are a freebie on our website too. And I would, I'm going to point that out after we're done with our discussion, kind of when we're talking about your resources too, so that parents can dive into that. I think that's like a 41-page download that you've put free on our website. So it's very much in alignment with what you're talking about today. Mm-hmm. And so that's a great follow-up to this, but we're going to talk about brain training strategies for meeting IEP goals. And I know this is where your heart lies in helping people utilize their brains to their fullest capacity. So I would just love for you to kick off by sharing some of your educational background and homeschooling background with our audience, so they kind of get an understanding of where you're coming from and just the wealth of information that you have to pull from.
Well, it has definitely been a journey. Really the last 40 years when my heart was in working with children and their families, and did work in rehabilitation counseling, worked as a social worker, did my master's in social work, and worked in children's homes actually. Wow. With children who had been through a lot of trauma and even could not be adopted. And we had an on-campus school. And so got to actually work with treatment teams. And that was invaluable. I really saw the importance of collaboration and bringing in expertise, especially when there are children who have learning challenges and those who had been through trauma. Mm-hmm. And that is something we just continue to see more and more prevalent. There's more information on trauma, the whole idea of social and emotional health. Those are actual goals now in IEPs. But that's where my journey started. And I was excited to get my PhD, and God would kind of halt that for a little bit, because my firstborn came a couple years earlier than my husband and I were thinking. So God had other plans. And then our second son was born, and we almost lost him. And he had a really traumatic birth and had some oxygen deprivation. So he was actually in first steps. Like that first intervention, because he was premature, And so when he got that, one thing that I did, which I am, you know, so thankful for the training I had in my undergraduate and graduate work, because mm-hmm. I saw that it was really important for me as a parent to be in those therapy sessions.
Yes.
And so when he would get the therapy, I would be in there learning, because he may not always be having a great day, but then I could go home and do those,
such a great point. Yes.
And those exercises with him. And I really think it helped his progress. Well, that would continue, and he would do lots of therapies. In the meantime, God would put me in the position to start teaching in classical Christian schools. I would end up helping start classical Christian schools here in the U.S. and then be a part of an international one in Lyon, France for a few years. And so I had the advantage of then working with children from 23 different countries, and some of the kids had learning challenges. So it was a very enriching time. And then I got to learn from international educators, which was awesome, different perspectives. So during the journey, one thing that also came to the forefront in neuroscience because of my own son was that the brain was capable of changing. Now, what seemed to be escaping us, though, was the methods to use to change it, okay?
Yeah,
So many of the methodology was still more remediation. And I love a great phonics program. My son did speech therapy till he was 10. He did some occupational therapy. So all things that I was also learning and getting training in.
Right.
And he would do okay in the classical Christian schools. And I will tell you, on this journey, there were some times that because we were either headed overseas as missionaries, or we were starting a classical Christian school, that during those years I homeschooled.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have three children, actually. They're adults now. And But they were 18 months apart. So in some ways it made schooling easier because we were closer.
Right.
And so, but I had those years in elementary school. And then we had something pretty profound happen in high school. When my son was in high school, the one with the learning challenges, he came home one day and he said, "Mom, I can't process it as fast as it's coming at me." And even though we had done tons of wonderful therapies and everything, and really had spent tens of thousands of dollars, honestly,
right.
He was still coming home saying this. And I'm at school. Well, I pulled my own son from the school I was headmaster.
Wow. That says something, doesn't it?
And I actually hired a friend to homeschool him, because I didn't feel like it was October. I was leading the school. I didn't feel like I could abandon and just, you know, quit my job. But God had provided somebody. And what I saw was, at this point, when it could be done at his pace, he was really successful. Okay.
Right.
And so he was loving learning, and he was successful. And at the end of that year, God really dealt with my husband and myself, and my passion was always coming alongside children that were struggling because of the journey of my son. So we stepped out of being in private classical Christian schools and moved to Kentucky, actually, where my family was living, and started Equipping Minds Brain Development Center. And what I found is, you know, in looking at his testing, it just kept coming back to that processing and that working memory. You know, he was comprehending. You know, you saw some really great things happening, but when we got to advanced things in math, holding on to all those math steps were hard, and but processing things in the class. Yeah. And listening and taking notes and keeping up with that pace was just not happening. And so one thing I realized was that we had done the best of the best therapies, but those had not been trained. So that's where I thought, you know what, I'm just going to have to develop it.
And so, right.
So I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things I cannot do well. God directed. And so he was kind of my first student. He started doing these exercises 13 years ago now.
Wow.
And would go on to graduate from college on the list and is married, is a father. So I'm a grandmother now.
Yay.
And that was just amazing. But what happened was as I was reading everything on working memory and executive functioning and processing and just seeing all these connections, it also led me, because we were getting really great results with students doing these exercises. And I will say, I take a holistic approach. So we do look at nutrition, we do primitive reflex integration, vision exercises, we do auditory processing, because that he actually did have an auditory processing disorder as well.
Okay.
And then aspects of all those years, 10 years of watching speech therapy, much in
there. Yeah, just all came together. Yeah.
That's coming together very holistically. Well, people would always say, well, where's your research? Where's your research? And so I had a lot of case studies, but I ended up going back and doing my doctorate in education. And was very blessed to be able to do a full-blown research study with students with a specific learning disorder diagnosis. And there were 32 students. And that's the most common. If there's a learning disorder that represents about 30% of the population, IEP, it's going to be specific learning disorder, which is an SLD, and that includes dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyslexia, and learning disorder not otherwise specified.
Right. You love that, right?
It's catch-all. Right. And so we had students who did an hour of more academic tutoring or an hour of Equipping Minds. And so when they did that, what we were able to prove in a full-blown study with checking all the boxes that researchers like to see was that it generalized to their academics. And so they made significant gains in their spelling and their reading and their science. And that was just fabulous, because we had seen that in individual students. But that was just a huge thing, because what I had learned personally was that it wasn't a different math curriculum. It wasn't a different science curriculum or spelling curriculum.
Right.
I was using some amazing things, and I had amazing teachers, and everything was multisensory, but he was still struggling, right?
Right. Yes, exactly.
And so we had to get to those underlying
positives. Underneath, yes.
We did. And so I continued that. And I think I told you the other day, I, you know, finished my doctorate in education, but now I'm going to get another one.
She just makes my brain ache. Yes.
And you know what? The reason I'm doing it now, I did an EDD, now I'm doing a PhD, but it's because of exactly what we're talking about today, is that we need more and more research getting out there. You know, I'm very blessed to be, my work's accepted in the secular community and the Christian community, at university levels, at secular, and it's taught, but that's still, we still need more of a dialogue to support homeschoolers, to support, students, you know, to inform public education, to inform private education. Because if we as Christians, as advocates, aren't having a voice,
Exactly.
Then you know, people only do what they know, and that yes. is, you know, and so getting more out there and having, you really have to do, you know, the research and the publications and all those things.
Right. And yeah, well. In order to just be heard, because yeah, there's so much information out there. We are on information overload, but to go to the top of the pack and say, no, this really is something that works and we can prove that. And so thank you for just the commitment that you have made into our community to be able to advocate for those needs for our kids. And as parents, I know coming in, I knew nothing about education and I was like, please send me experts. Tell me who to listen to. And I just wanted to recommend to you, Carol is an amazing resource and she has so much knowledge and wisdom in this area. And so I'm excited for all that you still have to share with us. Julie mentioned, she goes, love that she includes gut health and holistic variables when assessing students. And I have to totally agree. That was a major issue in our house was gut health when I never even realized that that was a component. And to be talking about that and not just saying, oh, we can handle this all without that. And then Alicia says, agreed. and I know Carol's joining us from Kentucky. I'm traveling. I'm in Florida. I don't know where you are, but if you want to chime in on our comments, just know that if you're watching on our Facebook page, you can do that just directly down in the comments below there. You can put in your comments and questions like Julie and Alicia did. If you're watching on YouTube, you can do the same thing. We'll be able to see those as well. If you're watching in our private Facebook support group, you just have to give Streamline permissions to be able to share your information in order for you to be able to post on there. Otherwise, you can just pop onto the Facebook page and watch it from there and do the same. But Carol's live and so am I. So if you have questions and you're saying, how do I handle this? We would love to be able to address that in this hour. So make sure that you pop in. And Alicia says she's from Trinidad and Tobago. Well, welcome. We're glad to have you with us.
And that is something that I love that I will tell you, I'll have to share this. When I started doing this 13 years ago, it was just in Kentucky. We were down in Danville, Kentucky, and we had a center. And y'all, as you heard me say, we were doing this with my son. And he has, you know, a little bit below average when his testing was done. But, you know, language processing disorder, had symptoms of dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia. And, and so that was kind of my world. Community was more of the ADHD, dyslexia, language processing, but still like average intelligence, so to speak, right? But then what happened, a parent approached me about coming into the school district, and the school district actually approved for me to come in and do my mind's brain training exercises with this student who was a fourth grader. And so instead of her going to remediation, it was written in her IEP that she would do cognitive training with me. And we started playing these different games. And we did this every day for about 45 minutes. And then at the end of 9 weeks, the principal met me at the door. And she said, "Have you seen the test scores?" And I said, "I didn't know they were doing testing." And here in Kentucky, they do testing 3 times a year when they come in the fall. It's called a MAP testing.
Yes, I've heard of MAP testing.
Right. So she said, said they had done it in the fall and they had just retested her. And I said, "Well, what did you want to see?" And she said, "We like to see a 3 to 5 point gain from fall to winter." And I said, "Okay." She said, "Well, Rose just went up 20 points in reading." And she said 16 points in science, 17 points in language, and 11 points in math.
Wow.
Well, y'all, what I didn't tell you is Rose has Down syndrome. And I was floored. And what it showed was that doing the cognitive training, doing the brain training exercises generalized to her academics.
Right. And because you weren't teaching her academics, you were just doing the brain training.
I was just doing the brain training games. And so I was in shock because I had her during her remediation time, and the school district had decided she would not get homework during this time. So that was amazing. But then what happened, we stopped after 12 weeks, but then by the end of the year, they retested. Well, I had not been working with her. And so we wanted to see, would this continue? Now, I'll be honest with you. I was just hoping she wouldn't lose it. Well, guess what? She went up 7 more points in reading and then 25 more points in math.
Wow.
And so she continued to make gains. Her 4-year case study is published in a medical journal and an education journal. And she's graduated now from high school. She's 21 years old, graduated with a regular diploma with completed geometry and algebra. And I would continue to work with her, like in the summers for refreshers and to keep her brain continuing to develop, because that's one thing that I kind of pick up in a lot of the research is that when they're talking about cognitive training and training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd love for you to be able to talk more about that, because I'm sure a lot of parents who are listening to this go, well, what exactly is she talking about? What is this brain training, cognitive training thing?
So with cognitive training, I have developed exercises and games that are going to make how they process information faster. Just like my son could not process what was coming at him auditorily. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I've developed these games, and y'all, there's a whole Equipping Minds YouTube channel with free training workshops that you can go in and see a lot of these different games. And those have been gifted to you, just like this 41-page handout. Mm-hmm. But you are taking different cards and different games, and you're working on your visual processing and your auditory processing. And because what we learned was just changing, you know, curriculums or something wasn't changing that underlying problem. And so doing the working memory games that we developed was also going in, because what we found out was that if you can't process what you're seeing accurately, and you can't process what you're hearing accurately, that impacts what we can hold on.
Yes.
Because if it's not accurate, then it's going to interfere. Or then with working memory, that's simply a great way to think about it is, does your child, do you struggle with multi-step directions? Maybe hold on to one thing or even two things, but then you get to three things or four things. And that impacts our ability to read, because we have to be able to hold on to letters and sounds for reading and spelling. We also have to be able to visualize. And so people that are natural spellers, they see letters in their mind. They can see words forwards and backwards. And what I've learned is that isn't developed by more spelling. It's developed these different games that is getting the brain to start being able to hold on to lines and curves, which make up words. And so it also has to be done in a way that's actually fun, because many children who have been struggling in school, whether it's public, private, or homeschool, I would love to tell you that I always had wonderful patience with my children when I homeschooled them. That would not be accurate, However, what can happen is when children see letters or numbers or something, all of a sudden they'll just shut down.
Anxiety that comes in.
Absolutely. And they're just like, as hard as I try. And many ways, it's like trying to cut down a tree with a butter knife, because if you are struggling with that working memory and you're trying, but it's still not working, it gets frustrating. And a lot of times what happens, and so this is a real balance. So I'm going to ask for some grace here for my audience. Okay. A lot of times we rush to accommodations and modifications and strategies. Okay. And while, please hear me, while they can have their place, what I realized was that in real life, when Clayton went on to university or whatever God was going to call him to do, that they weren't going to do that.
No. Okay? Yes, exactly.
And then in the workplace, that's not going to happen. Okay. So that's where my focus became, how can I strengthen these regions of the brain so that we can hold on, whether it's the soccer coach's directions or the music teacher or whatever it is that he's doing, or the steps to the math problem. And so after we were able to develop those, he went from someone who in his freshman year in college had extended time on task, that by his sophomore and junior, he didn't need anything because we had his brain. Okay. Right. So, but please hear me. We work with students around the world, and that's what happened. So when the little girl, Rose, made those wonderful gains, I'm getting called to the University of Louisville Brain Science Department, and they want to see the Equipping Minds cognitive development curriculum. And the next thing I know, it's getting buzz internationally. And that's when we moved to online teletherapy over 8 years ago, before people, well, I'm sure some people were doing teletherapy, but now it's
not many. Yes, exactly.
And so we started doing that. And so I now have the privilege of working with families around the world. And we have our treatment team. But the other thing that I do is, even though I'm, you know, leading the company, continuing to research, I always still keep at least 20 clients that I see every week, because these students keep me learning and they're teaching me.
And
I take our more challenging situations sometimes, and they've done lots of different therapies and they've tried lots of different things and they've had help, but then they want to start doing these cognitive brain training exercises in a holistic way. And the other thing that I really advocate that I do is, I'm actually passionate about parents doing this.
Yes.
So while I actually train the public schools, I train public school teachers, private school teachers, professors, occupational therapists, speech therapists, psychologists, medical personnel. This program is being used in adults with Alzheimer's, in orphanages, in universities. I mean, so many different, from 2-year-olds to 92-year-olds, from pre-verbal to post-concussion syndrome. So, I mean, God just granted a tremendous favor with this program. But my passion, I'm just telling you, has always been to equip and train parents. So that's why you're going to see that free training and the free handouts. And Peggy, you know, there's also another one on the cognitive abilities chart. That we're gifting to y'all as well. Because when we do come in with schools, with the public schools, and y'all, I'm just going to tell you, you heard me say I was a private classical Christian school headmaster. I homeschooled. But my biggest surprise has been that the public schools have brought me in to train, and that they have put this in their tiered intervention in some districts. Some schools have had me train the entire staff, and they have put it in. So whether it's a public school or a private school, but, you know, hopefully it's just homeschoolers watching this now, but y'all have my heart. And some of y'all may know I was a special needs consultant for 6 years with HSLDA. I've just totally stepped, you know, back from that just with everything else.
Got so much going on. Yes. Yeah. There's only so many things you can do.
Right.
Well, that's awesome. I love how you specified, you know, yes, there are, you know, ways to use all of those accommodations, modifications, and curriculums and all of that. And this isn't trying to say that none of that is good, but this is something additionally that is needed, because we see so many parents saying, I've tried, like you have, I've tried everything, and yet there's still something missing. Mm-hmm. And so thank you for sharing your story with that, especially because I think sometimes we feel like I've done everything they've told me to do, and yet there still seems to be something else here. We just can't quite figure it out. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about some specific ways that you've that you've used brain training to effectively help students reach goals in your practice? I'd love just for you to share some of those stories and encouragement for our parents.
So I'm going to share one that, you know, basically, I mean, continues to steal my heart. And that's a little girl named Nathra. And you can actually see a video on her on the YouTube channel under the school section. Mm-hmm. But her parents homeschool. But the public school actually covers her therapy with me. And she was adopted from India when she was 4. And so, and then even had a near drowning experience when she was 6. And so, you know, her poor little body and brain had just a lot, right?
Yeah.
And so, but the school district and the therapies, she was getting lots of therapies. And when we met, and she actually, they came to Kentucky for a week of training with me. It was really hard for her to even identify animals using her talker. She was not able to identify letters or numbers. She was not able to write. So despite wonderful people who care about her and speech therapists and occupational therapists and parents and teachers, I will just tell you, I was even wondering if I could help her because they had come here and they had tried everything for a year and they said, we're not getting, you know, the progress we want to see. So the school approved it. And I literally was, you know, zooming into the school. They had their special ed person there. Her dad was there in the sessions. And initially she was hiding under the table some days. So I was like, okay, but you know what? Fast forward 2.5 years because then COVID hit. And when COVID hit, they totally, you know, everyone went home. Right. And so they continued to keep her home and homeschool. But what I can tell you is that they ended up putting Equipping Minds into her IEP. Okay. And because when they read her psychological testing, it showed weaknesses in those cognitive areas and process memory. And people are aware that this impacts those areas of reading and math and writing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to tell y'all, today she was writing sentences. She was taking the spotted cards and writing, I see 3 brown bears. She is doing, you know, some math. And she is, you know, thinking logically and playing the game set and tic-tac-toe. And she's thinking and seeing her learning and just reaching goals that she had really not been able to reach.
Right. Yeah.
Started doing this. And I think I never would have said, oh, by working on drawing, you know, circling bears and doing with numbers and with cards, that's what's going to translate to her writing, being able to spell, to be able to start to read, to be able to do that. And
It's so counterintuitive of what we've been taught for so long, that this is how you get to, this is the means to the end. And yet our brains are so complicated, and to get those pathways. I mean, I've done your program in visiting with you before. And I have to tell you, it does make your brain hurt a little bit because it makes you think in ways you've never thought before. And I remember the little girl that you were doing it with. She goes, oh, this feels weird. but again, like you said, it's doing things that are making these connections. It's making things happen that nothing else that you're going to use is going to make that happen that way. That's why your brain is being trained. It's like, you know, doing calisthenics in a whole different way that you've never done before. Your body is going to be different in the same way with your brain.
Right. And so, and she's one of our more, you know, severe situations, you know, Rose with Down syndrome was, you know, able to go on from university. And then we've had so many students who happen to have dyslexia or some that have no label, you know, and that's okay.
Right.
You don't have a label. Okay. you know, but anyone who's had challenges and then it was interfering with them progressing, then you start seeing it interfere with social skills, even relationships. Sometimes people think, oh, well, they're cheating. And it's not that they might not be cheating, but maybe they don't actually remember the steps to the game that somebody just gave.
Exactly.
And so it can look like other diagnoses a lot of times when there are some cognitive challenges going on. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying, please hear me, I'm not saying somebody may not have ADHD or they may not have something. Mm-hmm. But if you're having a hard time visualizing letters or numbers or images, or you're having a hard time processing things or holding on to multiple pieces of information, or you're having a hard time retrieving information, because I have students can talk all day long about a subject, but if you say, oh, tell me all of the animals that you know, well, sometimes they can and sometimes they just may say, you know, seven, and they have a hard time pulling out their information that is in there.
Right. Because it's all like bucketed and they can only access it from one direction instead of from multiple, like you're talking about.
Yeah. And so that's why when you go in and you're training the brain, and what we will use, which seems crazy, is we use numbers and colors and letters and shapes and cubes and dry erase markers. So we train the brain with what the brain knows. What the brain knows. And if there's an element of the training that student doesn't know yet, well, we're going to introduce it very slowly, like one element at a time. And so that they can then use it. And so they are sitting here playing games with all these pieces that they need for reading and math or writing. But they have no idea that it is what's going on, happening, to go in and strengthen those pathways to then let them form those letters and remember the sequence to a story or remember what they just heard. And that has just been amazing for me to see that, because honestly, remember, I was the parent who spent tens of thousands of dollars on all the other and like I said, we did get gains.
Right.
still hit that wall, especially in high school.
When things get so fast and so hard and so quickly. Yes.
So that's been great because, I mean, I think of one little boy, 7 years old, who his dyslexia camp that he went to in the summer actually does equip him mind. So we have trained a lot of dyslexia therapists, but the Potter Ranch is in Northern Kentucky, and then there's another one in Alabama that they put equip minds in with the dyslexia training and have seen that just accelerate that therapy, that great combination. Yeah. And this is a little guy who at the end of a year, and he was doing 30 minutes of equipping minds, and then his Orton-Gillingham did a phonics space. And at the end of a year, he was reading way above grade level. His working memory score on his WISC 5 went up 26 points.
Wow.
Which is unheard of. And his processing score went up 16 points. And so that totally was transforming him. And so he's incredibly bright, as you know, so many of our students are. But he had been frustrated. Well, then that frustration away, those behavior challenges went away. And, because
he could communicate. Yes. Yeah.
Right. Right. And he was able to hold on to things. And then he went from reading, you know, Magic School Bus to, you know, his loving Harry Potter books, you know, I mean, he was just like, that was a big jump.
Right.
So it's amazing to see that, but also, you know, to come alongside you all as parents, and I will tell you, believe me, I had everybody else doing Clayton's therapy. I was hiring the professionals. I was observing. I was getting trained, and I was actually then going and making sure I trained my teachers, and I was working with other students. But I never did therapy with him till he was 16 and we were kind of at the end of our rope.
I think we kind of do that as parents. We think, you know, the experts have to know what they're doing. And so I'm just going to stand back and let them do their thing. But yeah, when push comes to shove and we have exhausted all our possibilities, okay, well, I guess I have to jump in and I'm going to do something. And that's when things, we realize, man, we aren't as bad as we thought we were.
right. Or I can do this. And, and one thing, like the correct view, you know what? It can be easy. And absolutely. I was so overwhelmed. There were times, you know, I was in tears, or there's times I'm just going to tell you, because I go to so many IEP meetings. Okay. That sometimes you feel like the sign above the door says abandon all hope, all who enter, you know, because you parents will hear that, well, this is their IQ. It can't change. You can't increase working memory. You can't increase processing. And please hear me. They are only telling you what they have been taught.
Yes.
And I cannot, you know, I can't emphasize enough that when I go in and I'm able to do trainings, uniquely this year, I've spoken at homeschool conferences, public school conferences, classical school conferences, and university in India in science and technology just in the last couple months, right? And you know what? Until they hear that, oh, no, the research has been done. No, there is hope. No, there are individual case studies. These areas, you know, coming in holistically does make a difference. And yes, you can train parents, but and I will have psychologists just weep with me. And like, Carol, I have told so many parents that there was nothing that could be done.
Oh,
Wow. And I would tell them, this is it. And I just didn't know. This is
exactly.
And that is true in absolutely anything, not just education, but in any field until we know.
Exactly. And we have to give ourselves grace because we just don't know. And God ordained that we wouldn't know. And I know I learn something new on the show every week. I tell everybody that. And I could beat myself up and say, oh, I should have done that with my kids. But the reality is I wasn't given that information. So, but it's here for you. So take it.
So,
and I've got to give a little plug. You were talking about camp. Carol's going to come into, we're doing our family retreat camp in 2 weeks. And Carol's actually going to be live streaming into our camp for a couple sessions of game playing with the Equipping Mind Brain Training. So I'm super excited about that, that our parents get to interact with you in that way. And can't wait for that camp to happen. But
Me either. I so wish. I really wanted to be there in person. If anybody can do anything about plane tickets.
Yeah, you've already registered as a volunteer. So.
Yes. And that's because I've got to work with a lot of students who have done like the Johnny and Friends camp.
Yeah.
And so I've worked with a lot of those families and it's so, you know, amazing to be able to train them. And what I love is that then when you train, then they'll tell me, oh, we took this game and we played it with grandparents or we played it with their cousins, or now we're playing as a family and with other siblings. And I will tell you that when you see the games that I'll use, and then I've developed my own. Mm-hmm. But for example, you may see that I say to use the card game Blink. Well, if you open up Blink, you'll find there's one way to play Blink. If you
Carol throws out the rules.
I'm not right now. About 32 ways to play Blink.
Okay. Wow.
So I keep adding that. And then this is something that just, it's not available yet. Like in three weeks, probably from today.
Preview.
We now have our own Equipping Minds card game.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. So we just kind of decided some educational therapists to our reading specialists who I've trained. Mm-hmm. One in particular said, you know what? You just need to have your own card games. And you know how you develop this secret code. So they came up with these wonderful cards that have colors and numbers and letters and animals and the wrong word put under it. And then directions. And so, it's going to be an entire like online video course, but then people being able to have their own deck of cards. That are actually being made down in Orlando with the company right now.
That's awesome. Very cool.
So having more resources out there. But I love to take things that the students maybe, I played Spot It. Well, we're going to play it with a little bit of a twist, you know, or the different things. But it is, I just can't tell y'all what a joy it is when I get to come alongside you as parents. And, you know, some of y'all today, I know because I was there and because I have the privilege all day, you know, I get to work with families. And so I get the feeling overwhelmed. And I didn't share this with y'all, but with Clayton, when we started, and, you know, he got the first steps and we were doing all that. Well, then we were tested in the public school and actually they said, well, he needs, you know, speech therapy once a week for 30 minutes. And y'all, I knew that wasn't going to be enough. And so we, you know, ended up declining that and going private. because he needed more. He needed a lot more than what they were able to give. And so, and then the private therapist let me be in the room or in an observation room. And so sometimes districts allow more services. You know, every state is different. That's one thing that I see when we're working with students. And I won't, you know, but I mean, for this one particular student, she has a really nice IEP because she gets speech services 4 days a week, time with me 5 days a week, 4 days a week for, you know, so she gets a lot. And so I will say, if you are working with your school districts, it is always best to just, you know, come alongside and try to work with them in a very positive way. Let me just say that is important. But sometimes you may need, you know, sometimes you may need to work, you know, with some private therapist, or sometimes, you know, in public with public schools, and every state is different. And then within every state, every district is different.
Yes.
As exactly. Well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, really, yeah, a lot of parents don't understand that.
Yeah. And I will say we do have, you know, some partnerships with some states where Equipping Minds is covered. And then even with older students who are over 21 under disability services.
Yeah, okay.
With what we do is also covered in different grants. And then we also have, if you are on the YouTube channel, like I said, you're going to see our free parent workshops and free handouts. But then you'll see our Roses program, which is named after Rose, the little girl I was
speaking
to.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it's where we actually did way over 500 step-by-step sessions where you can see me playing the games with a student. And we've actually set that up where families can do that for 12 months with a really low, no interest payment plan, anywhere from, you know, $54 a month to $84 a month, you know, depending on the extra things you want.
Right.
And the beautiful thing, you know, with something like cognitive training with our curriculum, because it's, I call it a cognitive curriculum because it impacts every area of cognition, but it also impacts all your academics, is that this is for grades K through eternity. You know, this is really, you know, preschool. So it's not something that, oh, I need to buy it for another level. There's only one level. It's a one-time investment, and it's a lifetime investment because we have parents that are using this with their parents.
Wow.
We have parents that are using it with themselves. And then, but it can be used for numerous children for long-term. And that, and I will tell you, we're talking about IEPs, but it also is used with students in who don't have any big challenges, but you know, they just want to get their brain working at its optimum.
Right. Exactly.
And you're going to see that because I'm just going to tell you, yeah, I may have a doctorate, but it's a good thing I didn't have to do physics. Because I'm not equally gifted in all disciplines, in the imagination. So it is something that can be used long term, and you don't have to, please hear me. Sometimes as parents, you know, as moms, as dads, you know, we have really high expectations for ourselves. Yes. And we should. Mm-hmm. Okay. But okay.
There's a point. You're right.
Let me tell you, the schools, when I say there are schools that do this program, they'll tell me the teachers that will say, I'm going to take this one day at a time.
Mm.
I don't have to understand all of it.
Right.
I mm-hmm. need to just follow the steps that have been laid out.
Right.
And just come alongside
mm-hmm.
one step at a time.
Exactly.
And yep. that's, yep. you know, one mm-hmm. little lie. I was down in a public school in Kentucky. I've got to tell this story.
Yeah.
All I've heard right now, it's, you know, August 9th, 2022. And the last couple weeks, Eastern Kentucky has been devastated by flooding. And that's the region that Equipping Minds has been training for the last 8 years.
Wow.
And so a couple of our schools have been impacted. And so we're waiting to come back alongside of them. But I was in their training one day and I was showing all the fun things we were going to do with this beautiful, fun colored number page and how we were going to learn this secret code and all the symbols we were going to put down, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, but we won't do that all in one day. I said, do you know how we're going to do that? And a little hand went up and he said, bit by bit.
Oh.
That's exactly how we're doing it.
Mm.
Just one step at a time, just bit by bit.
Oh, and awesome.
I will just tell you, you know, too, when you are teaching your children, mm-hmm. And math is one thing I think about this, when you're getting to multiple steps,
right? Yeah,
is to take like 5 to 10 math problems and only do step one of all the problems.
Mm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
then they can do step one, go in and do step one and step two.
Ah, okay.
Remember how I told you that Rose graduated with a regular diploma and did algebra and geometry?
Mm-hmm.
Well, her father was a math teacher.
Ah.
He followed my principles when he taught high school math.
Mm.
And would do this with her and with his students. And so instead of, okay, here's all the steps to the math problem. Okay, did you get
right.
that? And they're all like,
But then, no, not really.
Miss a step. Well, they just did like 20 or 30 problems wrong. Well, that just
right.
put a wrong pattern in your brain.
Yeah.
And so I will say, teach it this way. Mm-hmm. Take those 5 to 10 problems. And then it may initially seem like, oh, this is taking a week to get through all the steps. But what you will have is mastery.
Right. Yep.
That's
exactly.
what you mean to have. So
yeah. mm-hmm.
that's,
yeah.
Yeah. that's my little application, especially when you're like, but what about today when I can't, we need to remember this, but school is just about to start.
Exactly. One day at a time, bit by bit.
One day at a time.
That's great advice. Yep. And to find Carol's information, her website is equippingminds.com. Thank you, Carol, for walking through when my internet died. I appreciate you just keeping talking. I do want to show everybody how they can find your freebie on our website, though. So I'm going to walk them through that real quick.
Absolutely.
If you go to our homepage, you'll see that you can either donate, because we are a nonprofit, or get homeschool help. And I want you to go to that Get Homeschool Help. And down that page on the right-hand side, you'll see free downloads. So you want to go to that page. There's a variety of free downloads, like your IEP template, museum guides, some other things from partners. But then you'll see Carol's Equipping Minds. You can watch a video. It's an hour long, and that goes into those games that she's talking about. And then you can download her handout, and it's a 41-page handout that goes with that video. So do you want to say anything else about that?
There are 8 videos in that series. And we'll tell you, that was something I just did for lay people at our church on Wednesday night. So I take it kind of very slow, but it gives you an introduction. And then if you want to go further, you know, this whole book is 206 pages and there's a whole lot more, but I love to, you know, let you all get started with that. And then I think somewhere on under your IEP resources, you might have this chart that I developed that we use with schools for cognitive abilities and equipping minds training. And it talks about, defines what comprehension is or working memory, how it impacts academic, what the goals would be, and then which games kind of target those areas. So this is actually a 4-page handout.
Yes, and I can show them exactly where that is. If you go back to that free downloads page up on the top, there's the IEP guide. And if you click into that, you can go down into, there's a section in here. I know that's where I put it. But there is a link for it. I'm just trying to figure out where it is. Yeah. Here, brain training goals interventions, and you can download it right there. It's under the number 3 goals. That makes sense. So, yes, and that's where you can find that additional handout.
Right. So. And then if you go to our website and go under the parent menu, there's forms in a learning screening form, which is kind of a checklist, and then an intake. If you would like a free consultation with me, I just ask that you fill those out because that helps me if I'm going to talk to you.
Right. And I have got all that information in front of you. Exactly.
I do. And we can have a great conversation because my heart is to come alongside of you and equip you and make this a incredible school year. And please hear me, Clayton didn't get on the other side of this till he was 19. It was a journey. But it was a journey that we kept seeing progress and kept seeing progress. And the times I wanted to give up, God wouldn't let me give up. And he was faithful. And my last exhortation is just to, I know you pray for your kids. You know that God created them. They are fearfully and wonderfully made. That he, you know, gave them their mind, to pray for his wisdom when you're teaching them.
Yes.
And thank you to Peggy and for all the other partners. I just am so thankful that God has brought this group together and am honored to just be able to share just a little bit with y'all today.
Well, thank you so much, Carol. And Mandy even said, thank you, Dr. Carol, for your work. And thank you, Peggy, for what you do. Well, we thank you, Mandy, for being part of our community. It takes all of us.
It does.
And yeah, absolutely.
We're always learning.
Yes, exactly. So thanks, Carol. I appreciate it. You're always a wealth of information. And this was so insightful. And I know that our parents are going to come back to this video over and over again in the podcast just to continue to learn from you and check out your resources. So check out Carol at equippingminds.com. And thank you all for joining us and being part of this conversation. We appreciate you. Alicia said, thanks for the great discussion. You are welcome. I just wanted to let you know, we're going to still continue on this IEP path. We're going to talk to who am I interviewing next week? Actually, one of my board of directors. Dr. Jan Bedell is going to be on next week, and we're going to talk about neurodevelopmental strategies. So very much in line with what Carol was talking about, and from a little bit of a different, she'll have some different ideas, basically, because it's kind of the same type of cognitive developmental approach. But it's nice to have just different people pouring in on those same ideas. So that's what we're we're going to be talking about next week. So thank you all for joining us. Thanks again, Carol. And you all have a blessed week. And I will see you all again here next week at the same time. And we just appreciate you. And also just know that this broadcast was put on by Sped Homeschool. We are a nonprofit. If you want to make a tax deductible donation, you can donate to us. Just go to spedhomeschool.com and click the donate button. So I guess that's it. So thanks again, everybody. And we'll see you next week. God bless. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
A powerful prayer life does not require hiking a mountain to be able to hear from God. God can meet us right in the middle of our busy lives to help, guide, and speak to us through prayer. I'm Christina Patterson, host of the Teach Us to Pray podcast, providing practical teaching and encouragement on how you can make prayer a natural and consistent part of your everyday life. I promise it won't require hiking a mountain, but you just might develop the faith to move one. Listen and subscribe at lifeaudio.com.